something, brother.
Tonight, on the main event,
you got lust in your eyes.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
But it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Ooh, yeah!
What is up, everybody? It's a wonderful Friday evening right here at thechairshot.com. You hear that, Christopher Platt? That's thechairshot.com. Hit me with a motto, Platt.
Always use your head.
I love it so much.
I want my stadium, not studio.
We'll get there. We're only 2 months old, man. We don't have stadiums yet. We'll get there though. We're not running stadium shows. We're not running the Tokyo Dome, Andrew. We're still running Cracker Whatever Hall or whatever that thing is called that they're
Corkin.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah. Yeah, that one too. Corkin.
Come on.
I don't remember the name of it. It's all right. You know, we're Bound for Glory was with four people in attendance. It was great. Anyway.
Ouch.
We are here Friday night's main event. My name is Greg DeMarco. I am the publisher. They call me the kingpin of thechairshot.com. By the way, I need to talk to you guys about that Brian Malonis interview. He's not allowed to call himself the kingpin on our network. That's a rule. I'm just kidding. It's okay. But you can find me at Chairshot Greg on the Twitter. But I am not here alone because that would be rather boring for any show, anybody, anywhere, especially when we got the many creative minds that we do, including the man behind the action at the Chairshot Radio Network. He is the commissioner, Mr. P.C. Tunney.
Everything you have just said is true.
Of course it is. I don't lie, ever. Especially when I call Andrew Balazs the snowflake. He is the man out there. He's called the snowflake because he rates all of our matches. Recently put out our first ever pay-per-view preview as well. Andrew Clark, Corkin Hall himself. And maybe we'll start calling you Corkin. That might be your nickname. It's real close to Corky, though. Just let you know.
Oh, great. That's a nice one. Ola Snowflake and Corky.
Da, life goes on.
Oh, God.
And now we're going to throw
segue
from,
away.
We're going to throw from the guy who shouldn't sing to the guy who can sing. And that is, of course, the main event of the Chairshot Radio Network, Mr. Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen, friends, marks, wrestling fans. Lend us your ears on this Friday evening because the volume has just got cranked up. The situation has just turned up, and I am here to provide what I can only provide. It just got greater, folks. And for everybody involved, from the deepest, darkest depths of my heart, you're welcome.
Do you have the Platt soundbite, PC?
No, he does not.
That's okay.
I will right. Next time.
Can you do it live? No, I'm just kidding. Don't do it live.
Mama made me mash my M&M's. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Come on, Platt.
Actually, yes.
Give him one. Give one for Greg.
You got to give the people what they want. Mama made me mash my M&M's. Mama made me mash my M&M's. Mama made me mash my I am an M's, yeah.
I love it. I have.
Thank you.
Just so you know, Andrew, you might be the snowflake, but as much as I love nicknames, we had to call Platt the main event because I vetoed the token. So that's why he's the main event. Just so,
well,
just
you're not the only one that vetoed the token, Melon Farmer, but that's neither here nor there.
Hey, you can't be the token. You know, Potter's Warrior told me there's another one, the British guy, right?
True.
Touche. Shout out to Kenny Killer, man, my brother across
that's
the pond. Yes.
He's a special guest. He's a special guest. So anyway, I am on limited time now, so I will be with you for the beginning of Friday night's main event, and then these three illustrious gentlemen will continue without me, and the quality will probably improve, but for the first 15 minutes, you're going to have to suffer with me. So we're going to dive right in, gentlemen. The Royal Rumble is this weekend. I know everybody's really excited about the Royal Rumble. It's going to be lots and lots of fun. We've talked a ton about the Royal Rumble on multiple shows here on the Chairshot Radio Network, because that's what time of year it is. And I'm very, very excited about that. So I want to present to you an idea that I recently came across that I think is great. It actually goes to Christopher Dees. Chris Dees at thechairshot.com. His preview that's coming up later tonight, his own preview for the Royal Rumble. And he makes the suggestion that Braun Strowman beat Kane and walk out of the Royal Rumble with the Universal Championship, and then Brock Lesnar find his way into the Royal Rumble to win that, and then Roman Reigns somehow wins an Elimination Chamber, and we end up with this big cluster that leads to WrestleMania. Mr. Tunney, what do you think about that crazy possibility that could end in a three-way WrestleMania?
Let me clear my throat here. I think there's about a dozen ways to skin this cat. At the same time, what makes you think that we're going to see anything besides Roman or Nakamura, right? Maybe Finn, because of the whole Balor Club DX association,
Finn's
possibly.
A pipe dream.
Right?
Finn's a pipe dream for everybody. Finn's not happening. Finn is not. The whole eat a bug thing kind of blew up on us. So I'm not going to say I'll eat a bug, but I will eat a really bad sandwich if Finn Balor wins the Royal. He's not. I listened to a show that's going to be uploaded to our network later tonight, the Smart Spot podcast, and they're all talking about Finn Balor winning the Royal Rumble. I'm like, what kind of crack are you smoking right now? They're a crack haul, Andrew. And I just don't understand why people think suddenly Finn Balor can win the Royal Rumble because of a spot with DX on a show that didn't matter.
Did you read Mr. Andrew Belaz's article on the chairshot.com picks?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody picked Finn Balor to win said Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Andrew, do you remember who picked Finn Balor?
I wonder who it was.
Are that would be me.
P-T. Oh, that guy.
Tony.
I wonder why you brought it up.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it's going to happen.
What makes you think?
I think they've been throwing us off the scent the whole time. You want a surprise? It's there awesome. It is.
It's very, very possible.
It's your red herring.
Thank you, PC. I appreciate you, brother, because now you're burying yourself. So that makes my job a whole lot easier on these airwaves this evening. So shout out to the commish, man. I appreciate you.
Listen, I predicted Kurt Angle would get back in the ring. That happened. I'm predicting Finn Balor to win the Royal Rumble. I'm telling you, Cena Taker's going to happen. And we're going to see Daniel Bryan in a WWE. And we're going to see Daniel Bryan in a WWE ring at WrestleMania.
That's going to happen. I'll talk about that in a minute. Mr. Platt, explain to everybody your philosophy. You've been sticking to it for months now. The shortest distance between two points is?
A straight line, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's been the worst kept secret in the history of professional wrestling that we have been steamrolling towards Brock and Roman at WrestleMania this year. I don't know why all of a sudden people think that they're going to deviate from the course. I mean, they've done everything they can to... they've kind of walked a fine line here with Brock this past year because he's put on some entertaining matches, so you had to let him get a little you had to let people get offense on him, but at the same time, they've kept him relatively strong, 1-5, and we're out of here. And the Roman Reigns saga has been the most interesting thing in wrestling, in recent wrestling history. So, I mean, that's just what it is, man. We're steamrolling towards this. The three-way idea, I get it, but at the same time, historically, Vince McMahon is not a big proponent of three-ways main eventing WrestleMania. I know, Mark, you're going to point to certain, we're going to talk about Triple H and Shawn Michaels and He Who Shall Not Be Named and Randy Orton and Cena and Triple H. I know there's exceptions to the rule, clearly, but that's where we're heading here, man. We're heading towards that showdown, that clash of the Titans. In Vince's head, this is Warrior versus Hogan. And as far as Braun Strowman, I think he's going to get played off into a program with the man of three H's come WrestleMania season.
You know, the latest rumor, and I'll let Andrew talk about this first.
Mr. and Mrs. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
I'll let Andrew answer this question first, because Andrew, now the newest rumor is that Braun Strowman is actually going to challenge The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania.
That makes complete sense. Like, there's really no other way to cut it. Like, Miz is arguably one of their top guys because he's the best talker. He has elevated the Intercontinental Championship. He gets, like, the whole crowd pops for him easily. So what better way to try to cement Braun as a main event player than to give him the Miz feud and give him a nice win with a now, once again, prestigious Intercontinental Championship. But just to touch back on Tunney's point with Finn Balor from the last topic, wouldn't it be funny if the whole thing is wordplay and how everybody thought Finn wasn't over enough? So the best way to get over would be to throw 29 guys over the top rope.
That's great, fellas. And, you know, I too wish the world was made of rainbows and sunshine, but that ain't just what it is, man. We know where we're going. We've known where we're going. And guess what? We're going to get there. That's the bottom line, man. It's Brock and Roman. They're hoping that this is going to be Roman's coming out party or his crowning achievement, slaying the beast, per se. That's just what it is at this point, man. And I love Finn Balor. I love Braun, man. Everybody can get these hands as far as I'm concerned. But that's just what it is at this point, guys. We're going towards Brock and Roman. And this is where wrestling fans piss themselves off, man, because we get in our heads. And we have this fantasy in our heads, and there's no way that the fantasy in our heads is going to play out on the screen like we think it's going to. So then we automatically become disappointed. I'm letting you know, wrestling fans, the best way to enjoy wrestling is to temper your expectations. Just enjoy it on the fact that you enjoy the genre and the art form, which is pro wrestling. Don't get all off into conspiracy world and all off, oh, this is going to happen, oh, that's going to happen, because 9 times out of 10, it's not what's going to happen. The WWE is a billion-dollar corporation, and they're going to go with the safe bet and the smart money. And the safe bet and the smart money, whether you guys agree or not, is Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns headlining WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's opportunities to do. There's plenty of opportunities to do the other stuff with Finn Balor and everything. But I want to talk about something that hasn't been brought up yet on our network, at least not that I have heard. And that is, and Tony talked about Daniel Bryan returning to the ring for the WWE. And we all think that if it's going to happen, we could see Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. So what if, let me pose this idea to you. What if Daniel Bryan does, in fact, enter himself into the Royal Rumble? And, you know, they're playing up this whole I'm not cleared thing. So here's Daniel Bryan. He's in the Royal Rumble. He's kicking whatever. And out comes Shane, not as an entrant, but he's basically telling him he has to get out. He's not good. He has to get out. Bryan refuses. Bryan's fighting. Finally, Shane gets in the ring and throws Daniel Bryan over the top rope to eliminate him from the Royal Rumble. In Shane's mind, protecting him from himself. And that takes us down the road to Shane versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Tony, I'll let you go first because you're the one who's been harping on Daniel Bryan wrestling the most.
I have. And I really like what you just said. I think that's a great way to get that storyline kicking even more into overdrive than it has been, because we've seen the turmoil between Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. On a booking level, on a jealousy level, on just an overall who's in charge of SmackDown level. So to carry that out in a WrestleMania match would be great. My thought, though, right now is, man, it would be awesome, pun intended, to see Daniel Bryan versus The Miz for that IC title. But I'll bring it back to your question.
Not going to happen.
I would also enjoy Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
Andrew, what about you?
Sure, why not? I'm okay with the idea. That's an interesting way to actually build it. But to be completely, you know, full disclosure kind of thing, I wasn't that huge on Daniel Bryan anyway. So I don't get all the hype. That's all. Here we go. Shit.
You know what? Andrew? I got a little advice for you then. If you don't like Daniel Bryan, you just keep on...
You keep on kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
Press the button sooner next time.
I became a politician.
Yes, please.
I fucked it up. Sorry.
Brad, what do you think?
You know, Greg, first off, I just got to say this. Goat face killer! I don't know why I just had to say that. Greg, I love the scenario you laid out, man. I can't see it happening in a million and one years,
it's
man.
It's too logical.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it's just hard for me to believe that word hadn't leaked out that Daniel Bryan was cleared, if he was cleared. Like, that's kind of a pretty big secret for Mellon Farmers to keep, and I don't think anybody would be able to keep that. Number two, if they are going to have him wrestle at Mania, obviously the Shane thing is logical and it makes perfect sense. But you kind of want to have him in there with somebody that can protect him, similar to how they protected Kurt Angle in his two appearances. And I can't see Reckless jump off the top of the Empire State Building, Shane McMahon being the one that you want to put in there with him.
True. No, I understand. I definitely understand that completely. Before I go, I'm going to ask you guys a self-serving question. PCE already knows about this because I clued him in a little bit, and we'll let Platt go first. 205 Live is without a champion and is about to gain a general manager. And the big question is, of course, who is going to replace, you know, Enzo as the Cruiserweight champion. And Cedric Alexander is put in position to be the number one contender. Who knows? And there's a guy running around right now who I think is the perfect champion for 205 Live. It's not Ricochet, even though I think Ricochet should be on the brand. And he, basically because they need something to do with this guy to put him in a better position than he's in. And since his first appearance for the WWE, he's been announced at 205 pounds. And that man is the Bruiserweight, Pete Dunne. Platt, what do you think about Pete Dunne surprising everyone and becoming the Cruiserweight champion?
I love it, man. I really do. I'm a huge Pete Dunne guy, man. That guy, if he was a little bigger, he'd be a main eventer already, man. I mean, his facial expressions, everything about him is heel. He's excellent in the ring. He's a little stiff in the ring, or at least that's how it appears. I would love that, man. I'm not going to lie. I pray that Ricochet doesn't end up in 205 Live because I think he's too good for 205. But I love that idea. I really do, Greg. You know, I'm not just blowing smoke because you're the kingpin. That's an excellent idea. It's a great way to get Pete Dunne acclimated to American television and to the audience because he's awesome. More people need to know who he is, and that's a good way to introduce him.
Definitely. Snowflake?
It's not a bad idea. I do like that, even though I do like the freedom he has with the UK Championship and not a weekly televised WWE-centric thing because right. – You get matches where he just fought Will Ospreay, which was New Japan versus WWE.
Right, got the Austin Aries match.
In the Austin Aries one. So it's nice that he has the freedom.
Agree. PC?
I think it'd be tough to have someone like that that's supposed to also represent that in the UK, but I really love the idea, you know, like we talked about before. I think that would actually help it out. And maybe you get that much more viewership on the network from Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see it. Tony Acero, the Speakeasy Podcast, which is an entertainment-focused show, is now set to become our first entertainment-focused show at the Chairshot Radio Network. So very excited about that. Not that our other shows aren't entertainment for your ears. However, this one is purely entertainment, whereas we talk about professional wrestling, which for us and so many of you listening is in fact entertainment. So I've got a few minutes to rejoin and have some fun. And I want to talk, we've spent so much time talking about the Royal Rumble yet again. Well, let's bring it back to the night before. Takeover, a very exciting Takeover event, which they claim they didn't load it up because of Philly with the Extreme Rules match and the cage match. I kind of don't believe that, especially because that cage match doesn't make a whole lot of sense other than the fact they wanted to sell a cage match on the Takeover pay-per-view. But let's start at the top since our time is limited. We've got Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, Mr. Candice LeRae, challenging for the NXT Championship against the Vest, despite being the NXT champion, still so underrated, Andrade Cien Almas. Do you guys think Johnny Wrestling can walk out of Philly as the NXT champion? Andrew, we'll let you start this time.
No. Or he probably could, but I just don't want him to. I'm a big fan of Almas and what Zelina Vega has brought to his character. And I think that Gargano's, you know, he's a nice underdog baby face. He's got a good shot. Ciampa could interfere before or after he gets the title kind of thing. That's fine. But I'd prefer to stay on Almas and Vega just because I really like their dynamic. And she's one of the better managers out there right now.
Yeah, she's fantastic at what she does. Good to look at, but even better to listen to and to watch her talent that she does managing Andrade, and she can get in there and wrestle too if she needs to. You know, she does that. I don't know. Do you know that Hurricane Rana that she does where she snaps the head into the mat? If anyone knows the name of the move, it's Andrew. So, do you you know what that's called? Snowflake?
It's a Spike Rana. That's all it is.
All right. See, then you knew. I gave you the credibility and you swung and hit a home run with it. Tony, you
even
had your finger on
the actual guy.
That's true. You could be. Tony, you've had your finger on the pulse of this whole Gargano Ciampa thing. You and DPP, not to steal his credit. What do you think is going to happen with Gargano at TakeOver?
Yeah, this is one of those things where I've been riding DPP's coattails on what he's been predicting, so I appreciate you throwing me in there, giving me a little producer
credit. DPP were here, he'd probably say you were riding his coattails all the time. So well, he's not here, though.
That's fine. That's fine. Whatever works. It's been 20-plus years, so you can't – it's way too intertwined to figure it out now. But –
Of course.
If DPP was here.
Wait a second, though. Hold on. Breaking news, man. I think DPP did. He just called me on my line, man. He had something to say. I really do think he's been riding my coattails this whole time.
On to the Bengals.
Let's have some decorum here. DPP would say and has predicted that Tommaso Ciampa will return and cost Gargano the championship.
I just don't know if he's ready to come back yet, in terms of his injury.
And that's why I said DPP says this stuff, right? Like, I don't need this shit if he doesn't show up.
Just in case. I mean, the story is there for whenever he comes back. And all they got to do is not even keep Johnny Wrestling relevant, but just make him relevant, right? It's kind of like Nakamura. Nakamura can win the Royal Rumble, and suddenly he's a relevant challenger for the SmackDown Championship over at WrestleMania, despite how they've been booking him since, the feud with Jinder Mahal. It just that's what they can do, and most of the fans will eat it up right away, especially with the right guys, and Gargano is one of those guys. Platt, what do you think is going to happen with Johnny Gargano and Andrade Cien Almas at TakeOver?
You know what? I have to agree with DP and the commish on this one, man. I think that is exactly what's going to happen. They're clearly not going to take the title off of Almas right now. And quite frankly, Vega, that's one of the hottest acts in wrestling right now, man. Like, I just enjoy them. They're just perfect for each other. They fit together. They're peanut butter and jelly. They're peas and carrots. You know what I mean? They just work so well. She compensates for his lack of mic ability, and she's awesome in her role. She plays her position so well. And then when the bell rings, almost can get it done in the ring almost as well as anybody in the world right now. So it's weird because I almost want to keep them in NXT because I'm nervous about what's going to happen when they go to the main roster, because I can see McMahon seeing Vega as the star of the show, which she is the star of the show, but it doesn't work without Almas in ring ability, man. It's perfect together. They don't need to fool with it or tamper with it any longer. But I agree. I think that's what's going to happen, man. We're going to continue the Ciampa feud and almost will walk out as the NXT champion still.
Okay, I definitely go. Andrew, question for you, because you kind of understand how they set these things up, especially internationally. What's going to be the main event of this show? Is it going to be Gargano challenging for the NXT championship, or are they going to stick Almas in the semi-main event again and maybe finish this card off with Aleister Black and Adam Cole, which Philly is going to be hot for?
Baby!
That's a good question. I didn't even think of that. I mean, the one thing I'll give NXT is they're usually very old school with their card setup, where the title still main events. So I'm going to still go with Almas on Gargano as the main event, but you bring up a very good point. Like, it could be Black and Cole, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm still going with Vega, Almas, and Gargano though.
And Almas deserves the main event, in my opinion. I mean, his title win wasn't the main event. And when Rude was challenged by Hideo Itami at TakeOver, it wasn't the main event because of the tag title ladder match, which, of course, had to go on last because of the turn and the way they so brilliantly did that with Ciampa and Gargano. So very excited to see why. And I'll let Tunney answer this one first. Actually, I'll let Platt answer this one first. Why is Cassius Ohno on the card again? Can we do something with the guy?
Well, we talked about this actually on Chair Shot Radio.
Actually?
Yes, that you'll be watching tonight. Yes, we talked about this. You'll be watching that tonight, or listening to that tonight, as a matter of fact. Cassius Ohno, either he just got married, or he's got some kids now. and he needs a steady paycheck, man. And that's the only reason he's down in Orlando right now, because right now he's auditioning for lead trainer. That's kind of where we're at with him right now. And it's unfortunate because the man is talented, but that's where it is. He's there to get a paycheck, and I'm not mad at him for it.
So, Tony, is he doing anything other than putting Velveteen Dream over?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, come on. Velveteen Dream is on his way up. Ono is on his way to a trainer at NXT, right? Like, too many burgers, too many fries, yeah. Too many sodas.
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.
So, anyway, I mean, it's just plain and simple right in front of you.
Not to mention a thyroid issue, which has been part of the problem for him as well. So, I definitely do understand that. Andrew, is the best match on this card even on the main takeover card? Or is it on the tapings that they're going to do beforehand with, say, a Roderick Strong? I believe, is it Strong versus Tyler Bate to be the next challenger for the UK Championship?
That is the match that you're thinking about. And I don't know, because Almas and Bergano nearly put on a show-stealing match a couple takeovers ago when they were the opening match. And it's just like every match was amazing that time.
Yes.
So Strong and Bate will be good. But I think it'll be on par with Black and Cole and Almas and Gargano, at least.
Yeah, this show is going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm very excited about it because it's going to be a great weekend, in my opinion. You got the Royal Rumble, which is always very exciting. You've got just so much going on. Let me ask you guys this, and we'll start with Christopher Platt. Because right now we've got Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Can't call them Red Dragon because that's not what they're going by. But they're being challenged by the Authors of Pain. Is this it for the Authors of Pain in NXT, Platt?
It's definitely it for the Authors of Pain, man. They should have been called up a long time ago. Like, there's really nothing more for them to do in NXT at this point. The worry I have, though, is that they're going to be like the Ascension, and they're going to kind of get lost in the shuffle when they get up to the main roster. But we know Vince kind of has a hard-on for big, strong, ass-kicking type dudes. So, and I'm hoping they'll be all right. But, yeah, I think this is it, man. They'll probably get called up. They may postpone it until WrestleMania, so perhaps we run this back for NXT TakeOver in New Orleans. But their time is near, man.
I agree. Platt, not Platt, you are Platt. PC, what do you think?
Certainly.
I would love nothing more than to see them come up and take on the Usos, right? I mean, what kind of matches would they have?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at. I agree with what Platt's saying. It's time. It's time to bring them up.
Love to see them and the Usos because they can move. For big guys, they can move, and I would definitely love to.
And I love the Andrew, Paul Ehrling, too. Excuse me. No, I love the Paul Ehrling connection, too, man, because it kind of gives a link to, you know, past ass kickers of the past, a.k.a. Legion of Doom, Road Warriors. That's kind of cool as well. But, yeah, it's past time, man. Go ahead and bring them up, and let's see what they can do on the main roster.
All right, Andrew, you take this. I am going to leave you guys for the second time. So get Andrew's opinion. Then you guys take over. Have some fun. I'd love to tune in and maybe hear some thoughts. I know you guys talked about it on Pod Is War, but I would definitely love to hear some more thoughts about EC3 because I'm almost positive we're going to see that guy in the Royal Rumble. And really, I don't know if you guys break this down over on Chair Shot Radio later tonight, but all the people's reaction to what happened to the Revival at the 25th anniversary edition of Raw. Love to hear that as well because Patrick and I talked about that for a while, and I think people are way overreacting. So enjoy it, fellas, and I'll see you guys soon.
All righty. Well, thank you, Mr. DeMarco.
Do not adjust your PCs or mobile devices, ladies and gentlemen. The preceding episode of Friday night's main event has been preceded by Pod Is War. You can find us every Thursday evening at Chair Shot Radio Network, also at thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Christopher Platt, and I would be remiss if I did not bring up my partner in crime, the one, the only. As a matter of fact, I'm going to allow him to introduce himself.
Copo de Nieve! Yeah, snowflake for everybody! Yeah, that's what we're going with, right, Platt? Snowflake, snowflake balls, snowflake si. Man. Ah, yeah, si. Si, si.
Yo me gusto!
Copo de Nieve aquí, por favor.
Yes, por favor y gracias.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Mucho gusto. Mucho gusto. Bien, 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 bien. All right. So, as we were just alluding to, Andrew Pulez here, the snowflake, Copo de Nieve in Spanish. And we're here to take over during the takeover discussion of Friday night's main event. You like the wordplay? I like the wordplay. Platt, do you like the wordplay?
Brother, I love the wordplay. Hey, yo.
Now, that's not the voice of this guy.
It's time for a little bit of a survey. Did everybody here come to hear Friday night's main event?
Oh, God. Remind me not to have you do Scott Hall impersonations.
Remind Scott Hall not to do Latin impersonations. That's where the problem started from.
Hey, you know, Scarface wasn't a Latin guy, and that's where he got it from, so you got to roll with it.
So he's quoting a Italian guy, quoting a Latin guy, and he's a white guy, quoting an Italian guy, quoting a Latin guy.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of what who was it? Downey Jr. did in a what the hell was that movie called? Inglourious Basterds or Tropic Thunder? There
Tropic
it is.
Tropic Thunder. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. It's the white Spanish version of that whole thing.
I didn't understand that, man. Like, was it supposed to be a joke that he didn't sound like a black guy, or did everybody give him props because y'all thought he sounded like a black guy? I never really got that.
What do you mean by you people?
White folks. That's what I mean by you people. White
There's
folks.
The voice in the sky. Everybody. And no, he didn't sound like a black guy. Jeez. I don't know what his gimmick was. I don't think I've seen the entire thing of that movie. I just know that I'm a dude playing a dude playing another dude thing from the trailers. That's about all I got from that movie.
Because I gave it a shot because it had a very talented cast. I just didn't understand what the joke was supposed to be. And I thought maybe I missed a joke or I just didn't get it because I just didn't get it.
It could have just been a bad one. That's always possible, too. You know, Dane Cook exists. Bad comedy.
Ooh. We're swinging for the fences tonight. My man Andrew Balls, he's swinging for the fences tonight.
I don't know. Dane Cook's kind of like low-hanging fruit, isn't he?
Yeah, so are my balls at this point. Don't get old, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't get old. At least you got your own speed bag built in. That's good. Keep your reflexes up.
It's all good until you go to sit down and your balls beat you before you do.
You keep on kissing.
At least you know if the water's too high in the toilet.
This is true. This is true, man.
All right.
Maybe that's my gimmick, man. Toilet water inspector.
The toilet teabag professional.
I like it, man. I just go around just dipping my balls in each toilet throughout the country. I could dig it, man. There's a reality show in that somewhere.
We already got DPP. You can be TTP. It'd be a good time. Hey, no one asked you. That was funny. I don't care who you are. Alrighty, so let's actually do like a wrestling topic or something like that. Since we did that whole takeover during takeover, there was one match we didn't actually touch on when Mr. DeMarco was here, and that was the NXT Women. Oh, do you want to say it, voice in the sky? No? Fine. Sheesh. Doing your SportsCenter interruption. So, women's match, NXT women's match, Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler. Baszler, I don't know. How do you say it? Anyway, who wins? Platt.
First and foremost, Mr. DeMarco, with all due respect, Mr. DeMarco, I feel as if you are disrespecting 44% of ChairShot Radio Network's fan base by not, and may I repeat, not bringing this match up. You couldn't be bothered to do it, huh? You had to go hang up the phone, man, and you know, go play pocket pool with yourself or something like that. But that's the here nor there. I still love you. Don't get it twisted. I still love you. I love you. But we have to service our audience, man, and we have to give the people what they want. Ladies, we absolutely love you. And if you want to hear a real podcast, you tune in Thursday nights to Pod Is War on the ChairShot Radio Network because we love you. That being said, I could see a scenario in which Shayna Baszler or I know I screwed up her name, but fuck it. Shayna Baszler. That's what it is right now. I'm a loser. She's a loser. Everybody's a loser. So that's what's happening tonight. Not a sports fan, huh? I kind of am. Eye in the sky. All right. Anywho, I could see a scenario where she pulls this one out, but Ember Moon, just got the title. And she's starting to gain a little bit of momentum, man. I wasn't really a fan of hers at first, but she's extremely athletic in the ring, and she's extremely talented. And she has turned herself into a great, I wanted to say sports entertainer, but I'm going to go ahead and say wrestler. So I think she's going to retain the title here.
I don't disagree with that. I think Ember's going to retain the title also. Granted, you know, I was really hot on Ember when she first came on because she had a good look. She had an interesting gimmick in a sense, and then it went nowhere. Wolf chick in like Greek armor or something like that, but then she's just this kind of dorky, not a lot of personality chick with, you know, red contacts. So there's no character there, and that bothers me. And at least Shayna has developed that kind of intimidating, destructive heel presence from the Mae Young Classic up to, you know, when she debuted and how she got into this title shot. So I'd like to see Shayna win just because she's the better personality. But in the same respect, she can probably eat the loss because what she's just going to do, she's just going to kick someone's head off probably. And Ember kind of needs the protection by getting at least a solid defense. So, sure, Ember can win this one.
Okay, so for the last, 4 to 6 months, the rumor has been that we're going to see four horsewomen versus four horsewomen at WrestleMania. Now it's official. Ronda Rousey has signed with WWE. Is that what's going to happen at Mania? Are we going to finally see that long-rumored four horsewomen versus four horsewomen match?
I don't know, because last thing I saw was that Rousey said she didn't have pen on paper for the Rumble or anything like that, so she was kind of denouncing those ideas that she signed with the WWE at the moment. So unless that's just a work, I don't know. Like that is a good question. If she ends up debuting this weekend at Rumble, then yeah, I could definitely see the WrestleMania 4 versus 4 kind of thing. But then that also makes the whole title picture kind of awkward.
Okay, so over under that we see Rousey A at Mania, B, or excuse me, A at Royal Rumble, B at Mania.
70-30, 70% chance we see her at Mania in some degree, and 30% on Rumble. Where are you at?
You know what? And I hate to be noncommittal, but I'm going to be noncommittal. I say 50-50 at each, man. You know, because I really don't know where it stands. Because I was assured that she was going to be at Mania, but with the information that you just presented now, I'm 50-50. I'm 50-50 Mania. I'm 30 Rumble.
Sure. I can accept that one. That makes sense. So, yeah, I don't know. The Ronda Rousey thing has just been a huge question mark last couple months because seems like it's something everybody wants and everybody thinks is a lock, but there's nothing reassuring us that those assumptions are correct.
That's true, but it's one of those things that just makes sense on paper.
Fair enough. And since we're talking about debuts or appearances at shows, I know Mr. DeMarco was interested in touching on it again. So, EC3, do you think we'll see him this weekend?
First and foremost, man, that's annoying as hell. But first and foremost, I got to give you props. Now he's just screwing with me at this point, okay? Eye in the sky guy. But I have to give you your props, man. That was a hell of a segue. So you need to pat yourself on the back right now. That was excellent. It really, really was. EC3 at the Royal Rumble. That's interesting, man. I go back and forth on this one, man. And we touched on this Thursday on Pod is War. If you want to hear our thoughts more in depth, then tune into our Pod is War. You can find us on the Chairshot on Chairshot Radio Network and at thechairshot.com. Always use your head. So EC3 at the Royal Rumble, man. I could see that going a few different ways, man, because I could see Vince becoming enamored with his physique because he looks like $1 million. So I could see him fast tracking him to the main roster. But I think EC3, if and when he signs with WWE, is going to spend some amount of time in NXT. So I don't think he's going to be at Rumble this weekend, but I will throw a name out there at you that may be there that I think has a better shot at being there other than EC3, which is Bobby Lashley, or as I like to call him, the Black Brock Lesnar.
You know, that whole Black Lesnar thing has been a joke for years, and I agree with you completely. Now, as for him debuting or re-debuting at Rumble, that's both of these guys are an interesting topic, because does Vince still care that they're going to be on Impact Television for the next couple months? Because they got their walking papers, basically, and they filmed their goodbyes. The new tapings don't even start airing until February 1st, because they just had Genesis, which was still on the old regime and the six-sided ring. So we're probably looking at EC3 and Lashley being on Impact Television until either a little bit after Mania or maybe a little bit before, depending on where they decide to pop in the matches. So do you think that McMahon will care that he's, in a sense, helping to promote the other brand?
Well, those 30,000 people, I'm overstating it, those 30 people that are still watching Impact, TNA, APP, OPP, YMCA.
You know me.
There you go, GWF, AWA, AAA, AA, A.
AAA is a different thing, relax.
CWA, you know, all the whatever they're called this week. I don't really think it's going to make, pun intended, that much of an impact. Whether or not they're... Hey. Omni with harmony.
La la la.
Yeah, I can't see it making much of an impact, really. I could see Vince being petty and not wanting to let them on television until they're done with their Impact tapings and whatnot. So, you know, maybe we see them after Mania sometime. Maybe they're the new additions. Because, you know, after Mania, that's kind of the reset of the WWE season. So maybe that's a good way to start the new season and make, again, pun intended, somewhat of an impact to keep people tuning in.
I don't disagree with that at all. Senor Boombox, do you have any 2 cents to add? I can see you shaking your head, but this is a podcast and it's audio, so that doesn't help for other people listening. But all right, I'll take that as a no. Oh, thanks, buddy. All right, I get it. You want to do one more time? No? Maybe? All right. Anyway.
Hey, Chico. You play the things we want you to play, man. Okay? You play what we want you to play, man.
Who does number two work for?
I did it for The Rock. I did it for The Rock. I did this for you. Shut your mouth, you thong wearing fatty.
Tell us how you really feel. God damn. Sheesh.
Well, The Rock's not on this show, man, so it doesn't do anything for him.
that I will never retire.
Okay, well, how about a hiatus?
Or you could just take a night nap.
They got the answers. I changed the questions.
Thanks, Piper. Holy crap.
All right.
Did you run out of bubble gum, too? Oh, you don't have that one.
Oh, you've stumped him. Very, very well played. So.
I am Sir Michael Cole. Hold one, arm drag. Hold two, arm bar. Hold three, the moss covered, three handled family grandunzel.
I still got 200 more. I got 200 more holds to lift.
You know, shout out to Perry Saturn, man. That was one of the dumbest names for a finisher, but that was amazing. He made a mop work. He was one of the most athletic dudes for his size. Shout out to Perry Saturn.
And shout out to Bumblebee, if you remember him from the first Transformers. Remember in the first Transformers movie, his voice box was messed up, so he could only talk through the radio. And I kind of feel like that's what's going on right now with the Eye in the Sky.
Oh, I see where you're going with that one. That was a good one. I like that. Yes. Yes, you got the bumblebee in the sky, everybody. Good job. I think you might have just given him another idea. Okay. All right.
Moving along.
Yeah, I guess so. So, moving along, how about the other topic that Mr. DeMarco wanted us to hit, being the revival? Are you as outraged as 85% of the IWC, thinking they just got buried by some part-timers and some former Bullet Club, Balor Club, still kind of Bullet Club, I don't know what the hell club they're called, too sweet and everybody and using their finishers on a squash match? Or is the revival going to bounce back?
Well, to 85% of the population, the wrestling population that was outraged by this whole thing that happened that really doesn't mean anything, eat a dick. And if you're not into dick, maybe you should go eat some buns. You need a life. That's all I'm trying to say, man. Put down the Tostina pizza rolls. I know they're delicious. I have no problems with them. I only stopped eating them because I stopped eating pork. They're delicious. I get it. Get out your mom's basement. Go get a little bit of sunshine. Go get a tan. Maybe take a jog. Maybe do a couple of sit-ups. Maybe eat some fruit, okay? Lift some weights or something like that. Go meet a nice young lady and try to do something like that. This doesn't matter. In the big scheme of things, man, this was a celebration of the past, present, and hopefully the future. And quite frankly, just the fact that they were in the ring with these legends, that's good enough. Shout out, matter of fact, let me say this. Shout out to Andrew Goldstein, a former WWE writer. I was watching him on Twitter, and he made the correct assumption, or the correct point, rather, that's kind of an honor for the revival to be in the ring with those legends and to take the sweet chin music and to take the pedigree and to take all those finishers. That's kind of an honor to do that in the business. So, no, they weren't getting buried. It was a two-minute thing. It's ultimately, this was a throwaway episode of Raw. It's not really going to matter. It wasn't about the revival. It wasn't about any of the present guys. It was about celebrating what Raw is. And the revival is going to be just fine. Now, you know, the injury kind of stunted their momentum a little bit. But ultimately, I think they're just going to be just fine. And if they do get buried, it's not going to be because of this. So go ahead, get a life, find one, hop off the internet, preferably not before you finish listening to this podcast, and then you tune in Thursday to Pod is War. But other than that, go do something with yourselves, man. Go have a life. Go have fun, man. It's not that serious. I guess that's all I'm trying to say, Andrew. It's not that serious, man.
I mean, again, when you're right, you're right. I'm on the same page with you that the revival were closer to getting over than buried, because it was a big spot for them. It was a bunch of legends. It's not exactly the rub that people would expect from things, but it's still something that's, as you said, kind of an honor.
Yeah, and they're not buried. And quite frankly, Andrew, I'm only wrong like maybe once a year, man. And I got that out the way earlier today, man. I made an error in judgment. So you're just going to have to get used to that, brother. That's kind of how this is going to work.
Did your girl let you know you were wrong? Is that how you knew you were actually wrong?
For that one time, yes.
So, yeah, I figured it was. Over. Yeah, if anybody's going to call you out, it's going to be your girl, right?
Well, it better be, because if not, why the hell is she with me? She's you not know, my better half for nothing, you know?
Hey, not everybody looks at it that way, so that's a good point, man.
Yeah, she's not my better half for nothing, man. But yeah, I got that out the way early this year, so get used to saying that again and again and again and again, that you were right.
You know, I don't think it's going to be that often, but, you know, I'll let you stroke your ego now.
Well, you know, that's because you've got some malfunctions you need to work out within yourself. And I'm okay with that, man. Like, I'll work with you, man. I will hold your hand through this process. It's okay, man. But admittance is the first step, okay?
Really? Really? Yes. That's where you're going with this?
That's where it's at, bro.
This isn't a 12-step process, buddy. It's not like I have to admit it and then, you know, get over it, then get a sponsor, and then not drink for a week. Come on.
Well, I don't expect you to drink for a week. What do you think I am? Some type of a monster?
That's nice. Especially dealing with you, I think I need to drink.
It helps.
It does.
So I've been told it helps.
So, since we hit all of the fun points that Mr. DeMarco wanted to hit, so anything eating at you right now, Mr. Platt, that you want to get off your chest?
Well, you know what, Mr. Balls? I'm glad you brought that up, man, because I wanted to talk about the biggest story in wrestling right now, which is Vincent Kennedy McMahon relaunching the XFL. Now, I know you and I kind of went back and forth earlier today on this particular topic, so I'm going to acquiesce to my more than capable co-host here and allow him to have the floor to give his thoughts on Vincent Kennedy McMahon relaunching the XFL. Well, before I do that, let me lay a little groundwork and give a little context. So for those of you that don't know, Vincent Kennedy McMahon has relaunched the XFL. So the target start date is 2020. There was a press conference yesterday stating the relaunching of it. He actually had actual legitimate press there as well, which I thought was mad interesting. He's also sold, I believe, approximately 3.4 million worth of WWE stock in order to gain $100 million to put into this new investment.
Are you done with your backstory?
Sure.
Okay, just checking. I wasn't sure if you were going further with that one. But anyway, so yeah, that's, I think XFL could actually work itself out. Is it ever going to be better than NFL? Probably not. But the XFL did actually have some decent games once they got over that stupid, you know, 20-yard scrum to the football instead of a kickoff, and when they worked out like the first week or two kind of issues. And we could see a lot of the send-offs of the NFL reimagine themselves in the XFL. And if it takes place during, I think, the summer is what Vincent Kennedy McMahon said, you know, then that's fine. It doesn't run into anything. It gives people more football, and people are disillusioned with NFL anyway because of rule changes, differences in politics, and differences in a lot of things, or thinking there's collusion with the referees and the Patriots and Goodell loving Kraft or hating Kraft, or I don't know. But there's so many conspiracy theories going on. There's so many little things that an alternative could be what's necessary. Hey, add your 2 cents to the giggling.
An alternative to the NFL. You know what? I, you know, as opposed to eating my delicious burritos that my hot girlfriend made, I could have ate my own shit for dinner tonight as an alternative. But that doesn't mean it was going to be as delicious as those burritos that I ate, man. You really think this XFL thing has legs? Like, seriously, like, all jokes aside, you know, this is a shoot moment right now. I know the design of the show is that we're supposed to go back and forth and blase this, blase that. I get all of that. That's the gimmick. But shoot aside, man, you really think that this the XFL in 2020 has legs and can actually work? Like that, you really feel that in your heart of hearts. You really believe, like, you're able to be comfortable with yourself getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, shaving your beard, or whatever it is that you do, saying to yourself that the XFL could work.
Yeah, because there's no guarantee that it's going to be exact copy and paste of what it was back in 2001. I'm pretty sure McMahon learned from what was wrong with 2001, and he's not going to do the same thing in 2020. Not to mention, the NFL took a whole lot of different presentation aspects from the XFL with the Skycam and the miking up the players. So it's not like the XFL does not have repercussions that have lasted for the last 20 years on the NFL that has made the product better. Granted, not the on-field product, but at least the presentation of the product that we see. So from that aspect, XFL could think of something innovative. You don't know that the product is going to be highly inferior when part of the complaints of the NFL right now is that the product is inferior. People aren't just upset about the refs throwing flags too much. People aren't just upset about it basically turning into flag football or two-hand touch. People are upset about a lot of issues with football. And any kind of alternative that maybe dials it back a little bit to more like 90s, early 2000s NFL, where there was a little less of the two-hand touch. You can't hit people here, you can't hit people there, you can only hit them with a pillow, you can only make sure they fall in bubble wrap, whatever the fuck the question was. Like, maybe the XFL can latch onto those people that have got disenfranchised because the NFL is not what they grew up with and is turned into some kind of diluted product that they don't recognize as football anymore.
Okay, fair enough. So number one, I have to give the devil his due. Okay, there were some innovations that came of the XFL that were incorporated into the NFL. Like, you can't deny that. It's just what it is. Like, that's fair enough. Number two, if Vincent Kennedy McMahon had learned anything from 2001, well, then he wouldn't have the good sense to try to run this back in 2018, man, or 2020, or whenever the hell this thing is supposed to launch, man. Because, number one, the NFL itself, football, period, is a dying medium, okay? It's on the downslide, man. You talked about the rule changes and this and that. I'm not really going to get into the social issues because, quite frankly, I feel like most people are full of shit when it comes to the social issues, okay? There's only one dumb melon farmer that chose not to watch the NFL this year because of social issues, and I happen to be that dude. So I know for a fact that melon farmers did not tune out on social issues, man. Be it white folks, be it black folks, people didn't tune out to the NFL because of social issues, man. It's still football. People love football. Football is America's game, for better or worse, and people didn't tune out, man. So most people are full of shit. I don't care what the media tells you. I don't care what the media says. I don't care about the narrative they're trying to spin. I'm telling you right now, it's full of shit. People didn't tune out of the NFL this year. Point blank, period. Okay? Number three, you kind of contradicted your own point there, man. You said that, well, okay, maybe not the in-field product. That's the issue, man. That is the issue. Football is whack right now. There's not enough talent for the NFL right now. So where in is Vincent Kennedy McMahon going to find talented enough people to play football? People talk all that thing shit and they say, oh, yeah, we want to see him stand for the anthem. We want to see him do this. We want to see him do that. But one thing that we have learned, man, through the USFL, through the World Football League, through NFL Europe, people are not going to watch an inferior football product, man. And regardless of how bad the NFL is, it still is the best game in town. For better or worse, it's the best game in town. And people are not going to tune in for inferior football. They're just not. Now, there will be some looky-loos, and there's going to be some people that are going to tune in because of curiosity. But just like in 2001, quickly, that's going to dissipate when they find out that it's an inferior product or an inferior product.
All right. Three things, then. I'll do the three things, then. Number one, the product wasn't necessarily what killed the XFL back in 2001.
It was.
The thing that killed the XFL was going dark on one of their biggest games for like 40 minutes because somebody didn't put fuel in the fucking generator. That's what killed us.
I too saw the 30 for 30, man, and I know that's the narrative they tried to spin, but it was an inferior product, brother.
The game was great. After they got rid of the freaking scrum rule and they did the whole kickoff and actually played real football, Tommy Maddox's team, whatever the hell it was called, I forget now.
But Tommy Maddox. Tommy Maddox.
He was an NFL Tommy player and went back to the NFL. There was at least
a good year. He had a good year. Rod Smart made the NFL. He actually played in the Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers on special teams, man. Special teams.
There were still people that transitioned, so it's not like there wasn't talent. And number two, the second thing about talent is it's all comparative. It's all perspective. If you have a bunch of people that are, say, B-rank athletes, but they're all B-rank athletes and they're playing against each other, it's going to be competitive football. The problem with the USFL was it lost funding, and you had either big names that jumped from the NFL to play in the USFL, and then you had garbage players, so that there was a ridiculous dichotomy between good and trash. If they can actually find people that are roughly the same skill level, no one gives a shit if you can run a 4.2 40 down the fucking, you know, field. No one gives a shit about that. It's all about getting separation from your man or getting the interception or making the big tackle or making the big throw. Who cares if it's a 4.4 or 4.6 or a 4.8? You really can't tell me that the average casual, you know, viewer can discern, oh, he runs a 4.2 and he runs a 4.9, so he's obviously better, so he should be in the NFL. That's not really how that one works. So as long as everything stays relative to the talent on the field, we're good. And could that happen? It could. Will it happen? Who knows? Because he hasn't exactly put out his game plan yet, so nobody knows what this new XFL is going to entail. Everybody is just assuming based off of what it was, you know, what now, 17, 18 years ago, whatever the hell happened to be. So you can't really base the product in 2 years off of what it was in the early 2000s because nothing's the same as it was back in 2001. So to think the XFL is going to be the same is short-selling the product.
So could it happen? Yes. You know what else could happen? I could also get my dick cut off by a witch doctor, but I'm going to think that the smart money is going to lie in. That's not going to happen.
You're in Atlanta, not New Orleans, right?
Yeah, in Atlanta, yes. Okay, now, in New Orleans, man, when I go down for Mania, we might have to revisit this conversation. I might have to change my wording up a little bit, okay?
Yeah, you we don't know that one.
in Atlanta, I'm good, man. But no, man, you're not going to get top-tier talent with $100 million. You can't even field two competitive teams off of $100 million, man. You just can't. You just can't. And is Vince Kennedy McMahon going to be willing to show the bag? Is he going to be able to pull up the bag to get the talent that he's going to need to get here? Okay, now I hear a lot of names being bantered about right now, like Chad Ochocinco, Terrell Owens. That's fair. I don't really want to see a bunch of has-been football players, with all due respects to all of them. I don't want to see a bunch of has-been football players running around, running into each other, getting more CTE. Like, that doesn't appeal to me, man. And when you throw back, and during the press conference, it was very interesting, man. Number one, he threw a lot of dog whistles out there, which I'm not going to get into this on somebody else's show. You know, we can talk about that on Pod is War. But he threw a lot of dog whistles out there, number one. And number two, he talked about taking football back to the good old days. So what the hell are you talking about, Vince? Are they going to be running around with leather helmets? Is he going to pull out Y.A. Tittle in his melon farmer? Is that what he's talking about? Like, that's what's going to happen? Like, you know, people are not going to tune into crappy football, man. That's just what it is, and it's been proven time and time again, man. This isn't the first time somebody had the bright idea to bring back football. Hell, this isn't the first time Vince brought that idea up. People just aren't going to tune into crappy football, and I don't think that they can field a quality product. I just don't.
So we'll find out, because you got plenty of names like what you just said. You got Manziel, you got Tebow, you got names that people want to see that you know they have talent to play the game, and they're young enough to still be. Tebow won at football. People didn't like the way he threw the ball because he wasn't a prototype.
Because he can't throw, man.
He throws like an asshole. I'm not saying he doesn't. He shot putts a football. I get that.
Jay Cutler is an asshole, and Jay Cutler can throw. Tim Tebow throws like a 4-year-old girl. He can't throw.
Tebow's still got more freaking playoff wins than half the quarterbacks that are playing football right now.
My 19-year-old niece is bigger than Johnny Manziel, man. And you're not going to sit up here and tell me that Tim Tebow is a professional caliber football player. Come on, man. Wait, maybe
your 19-year-old niece is bigger than Johnny Manziel? I think that says more about your niece than it does Manziel. Like, motherfucker, like, calm that one down a little bit. He ain't money for no reason. Like, he's Johnny Football. We know Johnny Wrestling in NXT. He's Johnny Football for a reason. Calm down
this,
on it.
This ain't Varsity Blues, bro. And, yeah, Johnny didn't know. No, this ain't Varsity Blues. He couldn't even make it in the CFL, man. He's going to make it in the XFL. Now, it will draw, I don't give a shit what it's called, man. It doesn't matter. The shit's going to fail. But now he will bring eyeballs. I'll give you that. Johnny Manziel's going to bring eyeballs. Tim Tebow's going to bring eyeballs. I give you that. But at the end of the day, man, they can't play because if they could play, they'd be in the league. You know how derp the quarterbacks are in the league. Mike Glennon just got $15 million a year, for Pete's sake, man, to go play quarterback, man, and he's garbage. He's garbage.
Then you got to look at other situations like Josh Gordon, who the man is fire. He's an amazing player. But they decided to blackball him for 2 years for weed.
Stop right there, though. But stop right there. He's an amazing player. Which one of those guys is an amazing player?
Manziel's not bad when he's sober.
Not bad's not amazing. And I wouldn't even say he's not bad, but not bad's not amazing.
I haven't seen him play on an actual solid team in years. He was on the Cleveland Browns. You should know that team was not good enough to, you know, to show off anybody's talent, regardless of who the hell it was.
That's fair, but you're telling me nobody wanted to pick him up? Hell, even Tebow got four chances.
Tebow's only thing against him was that he loved God and wouldn't shut up about it.
Manziel, no, Tebow couldn't throw. That's kind of essential to the job, man. You got to throw. You got to be able to throw.
They didn't make him throw in New York that much. And
you talked about his playoff win, man. This Melifarmer completed 8 passes, man.
He can't throw. I think the 9th one was the one that they won on, right?
He still can't throw. So he completed 9 passes. Whoop-de-doo, good for you.
Hey, you know, the RPO is a big thing in football right now. So I think it could work out. It's not the Wildcat anymore. Run pass option, baby. That's all Tebow all day.
Fair enough, man. So, okay, so what's your over-under then for how long this XFL thing lasts? If it can, assuming it does launch in 2020.
I'll say it lasts at least 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to say at least 3.
Okay, just like much like John Calipari's talent at the University of Kentucky, it's one and done.
I liked it. That was a good reference.
That was good. What? Yeah, that was well played, right?
Yeah, that was. I liked it.
I don't know what Bill Belichick is talking about, man. I don't know.
Neither do I. Do we need to find Gronk? Is his headache gone?
I think he's telling us to wrap it up. Maybe we should say something nice about Greg and wrap it up.
Oh. Do you have anything nice about Greg?
he gave me an opportunity on the airway. Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciated what you just heard, you can tune in each and every Thursday for Pod is War, the hottest wrestling-related podcast on the planet right now. We talk wrestling, we talk sports, we talk pop culture, we do it with flair, we do it with panache, we do it with humor, we do it with intelligence. So if you're into all of those things, this is the podcast for you. Again, you can find us Thursday, each and every Thursday night on ChairShot Radio Network and at thechairshot.com. Always use your head.